Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
You are here with Camille with my show, Everyday People, on 92.7 Arrow FM, your community access show. It has just gone 9 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, the 6th of November. It is 15 degrees outside and cloudy, which is kind of cool because I kind of like days like this, you know, they're just chill days. And I didn't have much sleep last night, so that's what I'm going to be doing when I get home tonight, just after the show this morning. Way to go, Camille. Anyway, I have a great show this morning. I've got two guests on. I've got Nicole, who is part of the front counter team at Sacred Art. And I have Jason Burns, who a lot of people know who are listening, know him. And he has got some fantastic stories to tell us. And we're going to get into that very soon. Coming up in the next few weeks, I have a lot of very cool guests coming on. And next week, I have a young guy called Nick Sowry, who is coming on. He's an up-and-coming rapper here in Masterton, so we're going to let him have some time on the air and play one of his songs. And also on that show, I will be doing an interview with Oscar Wilson, Michael Wilson's son, so I'm really looking forward to that. He is doing some amazing stuff in LA, so very cool. But let's get into it. Nicole, hi.
Hi.
Hi. So I first met you when I go into Sacred Art a lot to get piercings put in or buy numbing cream and stuff. Yeah. And I noticed your accent and I was like, okay, where are you from? And you're like, American. I'm like, wow, how did you get here? And that's when I thought, I want this woman on my show. And I've got you on my show right now. So you obviously didn't grow up in New Zealand.
No.
So where did you grow up and what was that like for you?
So I grew up in Illinois, in the States, and I have to explain this to Americans as well, so it's kind of in the middle.
Oh, wow.
Southern Illinois was where I was born, and that's pretty rural, country, conservative. Yeah. It's about 45 minutes north of Kentucky, which is real country.
Oh, wow.
And then my mom and dad split when I was in third grade, give or take, which I think is like eight.
Yeah.
Eight-ish. Yeah. And then I moved with my mom north a little bit into Peoria, which is a city. And then from there till about the age of 13, I went back and forth from city to country every year. So I switched schools every year. Went to my dad's one year, my mom's the next, and then back and forth.
How was that for you?
At the time, didn't bother me. I think now as an adult, I'm like, that might be where some of my issues come from.
Yeah.
But no, it was interesting because up at my mom's, I would actually switch schools and leave my friends behind every year I came back. But when I went back to my dad's, it was the same country kids. You know, I was going back to the same people. So it was interesting. I met tons and tons of friends.
Yeah.
Some who I still keep in touch with, you
That's
know what
good.
I mean? From the age of like eight.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So you grew up in middle America, which is kind of ironic that I've got you on the show today with the election going on. I just clicked when I was like, oh my goodness, that's right. Yeah. So you grew up there and having that back and forth. How did this lead to you coming to New Zealand? And what age did you come to New Zealand?
So my childhood and my family have nothing to do with me coming to New Zealand.
Yeah.
my partner's from here.
Oh, wow.
So I went, when I was 23, I moved to San Diego, California.
Yeah.
And I was going to school and I met my partner, JJ, a Kiwi, at a punk rock show.
Nice.
And the rest is kind of history. He stayed for a bit. He came back to New Zealand. We did a long distance thing while I was going to school. And then he came back for another year. And then he couldn't extend his visa any longer.
Mm.
So then we're like, yeah, let's go to New Zealand.
How long ago was that?
It was 5 years in September.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And what is, was it a little bit of a culture shock, or was it a huge bit of a culture shock for you?
Yeah. Well, we came at the end of 2019, and then 2020 COVID popped off. So I don't feel like I got a totally fair introduction to New Zealand.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was. There are a lot of differences, and still it's an adjustment for sure. Yeah. Some not easy, some super easy, some great. Yeah.
Yeah. What would be your biggest kind of change?
Oh man.
putting you on the spot.
Learning, like, I guess how to socialize with New Zealanders, I feel like has been challenging at times.
Yeah.
A lot of this, like, I feel like sense of humor doesn't translate sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Mine or theirs.
Yeah.
I've gotten myself in trouble. I was like, that's not what I meant. That was a joke. But
yeah.
yeah, that's probably it. But
yeah.
Now it's just normal.
Yeah.
My mom came earlier this year, and I found myself explaining, I'm like, Mom, that's just how, that's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how they talk.
That's like, really cool. That is really cool that your mom came over as well. And did you get to show her around? And like, how much of New Zealand have you traveled yourself?
I feel like a fair bit. I've been to the South Island.
Oh, beautiful.
I haven't been past Auckland. I haven't been north of Auckland.
Oh, man, that's such a treat as well.
Yeah. I'd love to go up there.
Yeah.
But no, my mom came and she was pretty content with just hanging around, spending time with me.
Yeah.
And I think she was a bit on a budget too. So we didn't do a bunch of traveling. But I did have a friend, my best friend, come the year prior, and we went from Auckland down to Te Anau.
Yeah.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, to the Milford Sound. So,
yeah.
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I did, last year I did, this is my big epic travel, I did 2 weeks by myself in a van around the South Island, and I was blown away. It's just a Kiwi, like, blown away down there. It just seems to be so much more country than there is up here, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Less people, maybe.
Absolutely.
Which I love.
It's cool.
Yeah. And also, being in the Wairarapa, there isn't, you don't have to go too far to see things as well, like with the rugged coast and...
Oh, no, that's true.
Yeah. That is so true. So now this leads to, how did you end up working at Sacred Art, our favourite tattoo and piercing shop here in Marston and Queen Street?
Long story short, my partner is old friends with Sarah.
Oh, nice.
He's known Sarah since she was like 13.
Yeah.
And I was working at a place that I won't name.
Yeah.
in 2022. And then the borders opened up from the whole COVID thing. Mm. And then I visited home for 3 months and I quit my job to do that.
Yeah.
And then I came back and Sarah had posted on Instagram that she was looking for somebody to be the second shop mom.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yes.
And I was like, me, I'll
do
it. You know, we're friends. You know me. I know you.
That is so cool.
Good. Yeah. So that's how that happened.
Yeah, because they're really good people. And working there must be fun as well. It's not just the tattooing. There is the piercing as well. And Anthony is coming on the show in a couple of weeks.
Is he?
Yeah,
oh,
to talk about him, which is really, really cool. So you work with some really cool people, and
definitely.
Yeah, and the events that you guys do with the flashes and stuff like that. Mm. What's it like being a part of all of that?
Oh, it's cool. It's chaotic at times.
Yeah.
there's so many interesting moments. We meet so many interesting people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
We do, we go to the conventions.
This
month we're going up to the New Plymouth Tattoo Festival.
Oh, awesome. And I saw that Sarah's doing a piercing in Whakatane, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah. She does, she'll go up kind of semi-regularly and do those guest spots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is sweet. I think she's the only piercer that's up there.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Come out to see her. Yeah.
Being part of such a cool team and such a cool business, that what I really like about people, they're open a small business in Marsden is how brave and courageous you have to be in this day and age to do that. And there's quite a few popping up. And I'm like, man, you're cool doing that. Come and talk about it. But there also has to be lows in the job as well. I remember doing a lot of hospitality. There'd be a lot of lows in that. But I guess you're all there for each other.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It does help when you have a team that's kind of knit like a family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Which is great with working with Sarah and Jordan.
Yeah.
I consider them family. So, yeah.
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 Yeah, I actually interviewed Rainey the other day as well, which is really cool. A lot of editing to do on that. We both dropped the F-bomb quite a lot. And so I'm still, like, getting the energy to get ready to edit that. But, yeah, it's really cool. So what is your favourite thing about Masterton? Let's put you on the spot.
Oh, man, about Masterton. Okay, well, first of all, I don't live in Masterton. I'm a Carterton girl.
Oh, wicked.
So
we love the Carterton Event Centre here.
My favorite thing about Masterton is that it's next to Carterton.
Yeah.
No, that's... let me see. Actually, I like the skate park.
It's a cool way. Eh?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I go and I skate sometimes.
Do
on
you?
Quad skates.
But oh, wow.
Yeah, it's sweet. I love it.
That's so brilliant. Yeah. I used to be a skater girl in the 80s.
Really?
I broke my ankle massively in my 20s, drunk skating Cuba Street.
Did you? Legend. Oh, I bet you look cool, though.
Oh, man. Still do. No, and my partner was a skater as well. I met him when he was 12 at the skate park, and I was like, but we didn't get together for ages ago. Anyway, that's a story for another day. I got off track there. No, that skate park is really good, isn't it? It's and the way that it's just getting better and better, bringing really cool people into, you know, just doing stuff, which is so good to see. So, Nicole, I don't encourage future jumping, like, but I want to know, what are your dreams or aspirations that you have for the future?
I don't know.
You don't even have to have any.
That's a big loaded question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think one day, on my brain at the moment, I think, honestly, I'd like to travel. That's my big goal. I'd like to, as far as, like, work, I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I've ever known what I've wanted to do. Mm. I've gone to school, and I've worked my dream job, and then it turned out to not be my dream job. So then I'm like, what is this life?
Yeah. I can't even tell you. I don't have a clue.
Yeah. All I want to do is travel and see things and eat good food.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how.
Yeah.
I will do that. I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
I think one day I will probably move back to the States.
Mm.
I've been missing a lot of family events lately, and I'm like, when is that time for me to go back? So that might play into things for me too.
Homesickness is a real thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you miss the most about home, aside from family?
Mexican food.
Good
Mexican food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I got a little spoiled because when I was living in San Diego is right on the border of Mexico.
Yeah.
So it's without being in Mexico, it's as authentic as it gets.
Nice.
But food, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, if you go to a state fair, it's just, like, everything fried on a stick.
Oh, they eat, like, huge turkey legs and stuff. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I can't wait to go to one of them one day myself. There's parts of America I'd love to go to, and Middle America is one of them.
Yeah.
Like, definitely.
You should,
What an experience that would be.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they'll mention they want to go to America, and I'm like, New York's all right. I totally avoid LA.
Yeah.
Vegas, I would say go for a day. You don't need to do Vegas more than a day. But then other than that, go see stuff that's off the beaten path.
And
people are so nice in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Middle America.
Yeah. Oh, and the nice scenery.
Mm.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And I can only think from what I've seen on TV and in books, and it's always just been like, whoa, that would be so cool. thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
I love hearing stories from people who've come from another country to live here. Are you excited about the election? Or
oh my god, I am in shambles.
No.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be crying either way.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I'm a typical American. I have my heated opinions about it, which I'll leave.
Yeah.
I'll leave you guys alone with that. But yes, I'm excited and I'm very nervous.
It's like a big gender reveal, eh? Is it going to be a girl or a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is so cool.
Is it
cool.
going to be a nice person or a felon?
It's just like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I'm all eyes are on America today. That is for sure. So I didn't even plan on having you here on an election day. That's just a coincidence. Yeah, and I think that's actually really, really cool. It's like the universe looking after me there, making my show more epic. So thank you so much.
Yeah,
you are more than welcome to stay. So if you see Nicole staying in the studio, that's it, because I like having people to stay. Hey, I'm going to chuck on a song before we talk to Jason. It is 9:15 on a Wednesday morning here in little old Marsden, Aotearoa, and it's still 15 degrees outside and cloudy. Here is Xanadu, but it's not the Xanadu you think it's going to be. This is by Amit Ozkan.
Bye.
That is amazing. Umet Ozcan. Man, that was really cool. Xanadu, listen to that Mongolian throat singing. Man, I really feel that stuff. I was listening to it last night and I was like, that is a song I have to do. Hey, it is 9:20 on a Wednesday morning here in Masterton on 92.7 RFM, your community access show. You're listening to Camille on her show, Everyday People. And I've just been talking to Nicole from America, but also from Sacred Art. And now I am talking to Jason. Jason Burns, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
So good to see you here, eh?
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not a problem. Once I started seeing some of your art and hearing some stories about your travels, I was like, man, I'm going to get this dude on, man. This sounds cool. I've known Mark since intermediate, your brother, and I've known your mum for a long, long time, and I have a lot of time for her. And I have a lot of time for Mark as well. Yeah, and so let's start this. So, Jason, growing up in Masterton, how was that for you?
Yeah, good. 10 years in Tinui to start with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Dad worked on a farm at Tinui.
Yeah.
And I think we moved out there when I was one until 10.
Yeah.
And then Dad...
Oh, wow.
Got another job closer to town, out towards Biddeford, so we were there for another 5 or so years.
Oh, so you're like farm boys for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been cool, because there's how many brothers do you have?
2 younger brothers, Mark and Logan.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
So moving into town, how was that?
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock, really. Dad got crook and couldn't work anymore, so we moved into town. And yeah, Mum's still in the same house.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a little bit of a shock.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Coming from Tinui. And
yeah, it would have been as well. Yeah, I remember meeting Mark at Hiona. So coming into Masterton, and there's a lot more to do in Masterton than probably on the farm, but in comparison, it's very different, obviously. Well, I want to swiftly move on to the point that you do a lot of art.
Yeah.
And where did that start from? What inspired you at first, or was it just something that happened?
I've been sort of doing art stuff forever, kind of thing, just, you know, at school and when I was younger, and yeah, just sort of carried on with it. And I'm not actually sure where it comes from, but
yeah. It's very cool. But from you doing this art, you have been able to have an exhibition. Was it only one exhibition that you've done?
I've had a couple in town here. Harry Watson, he had a little gallery up in, I think, Perry Street for a while there. So I done a solo show up there. And
wow.
That went pretty well, and then ended up doing one at Aotearoa.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's pretty epic, having one at Aotearoa.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your inspiration behind these pictures? Is it just like, I think I'm repeating myself, but does it just happen?
Yeah, but it's sort of, I don't know. Yeah, just sort of. They seem like a bit of a diary or something.
Oh wow! Yeah,
maybe. Because I sort of write quite a lot of stuff on them. And different things that have happened, and
so it's like putting your life into art,
in a sense.
And they're not just little pieces, a lot of them, are they?
Most of them are quite big.
I've seen a picture of you sort of sitting in the middle of one of these massive things around you that you're doing.
Yeah, too big, really. I don't know anyone with a house that big.
No.
Not sure what I'm doing there, but yeah.
And that's they really are fantastic. I was just saying to you before, a friend of mine posted a picture of a scene in her house, and I saw one of the pictures, and she said it was yours, and I was just like, that really is cool. It really is cool. And you've been able to sell a bit of your art.
Yep, definitely, yeah.
And what have you used that money for?
That
sounds dodgy, eh? What did you use that money for?
A bit of all sorts, really.
You know what I'm getting at, eh?
I used some of it to go to Mongolia just recently, so It was cool.
But Mongolia's not the only place that you've been to. Well, we're going to get to this Mongolian story very soon because I think that's kind of cool. But you've travelled a lot of the world before this. Yeah. Do you want to sort of give me an idea of where you've been?
Yes, spent 6 months travelling around South America.
Man, that would have been epic.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Anything crazy happened there?
Yeah, got held up at gunpoint on a bus and quite a few other little things.
That would have been terrifying though, eh? Or were you quite cool, calm and collective, Tanui boy?
It was sort of a bit like a dream, I suppose.
Surreal as.
Yeah, it wasn't until later on that evening when I was travelling with some friends. And we got to the place we were going to and then it sort of set in. It was like, shit, that was full on.
Yeah. Was there a reason why they did that?
Just to rob the bus. Yeah.
Oh, no way. Yeah, here's me thinking it was police with guns.
No.
You're talking about bandits.
Yeah, like only young guys, you know, probably 20s.
Oh, no way.
Broad daylight. And we're just on a local bus stopping in a town to let some people off. And three guys came on. One had a gun and one had a big knife.
No way.
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
Did they get much off you?
Not off me, no.
Oh, you're a smart
one
boy.
One of my friends straight away gave us a whole wallet.
Oh.
A few $100 in it.
Oh, no.
No, I kind of stuffed it up and pulled my cigarette lighter out and sort of... he wasn't happy, but he carried on.
Yeah, well, lucky he wasn't too unhappy or you probably wouldn't be sitting here. Oh, your poor mum.
Yeah.
All right, that would have been absolutely freaky. So that's quite a lot of time to spend in South America, eh?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, went travelled through Peru and Bolivia and Ecuador was where the gun thing happened.
Yeah,
Colombia and Chile. And,
yeah,
it was real cool.
Man, that would have been... actually, one of the office girls here, Marina, who does a lot of the work, I shouldn't just call her an office girl. Sorry, Marina. I've interviewed her. She's from South America. She didn't have any stories like that to tell me when I had her on the show. I bet she does, though, eh? So, apart from... That would have been epic, the food and everything, eh? The whole culture, so different from Tanui.
Oh, man,
definitely,
yeah.
What was the highlight? What was the most that you took from that trip?
I think realising how lucky I am to be from this country. You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of poverty. Especially in Bolivia and Peru, it was quite, bit of an eye-opener, eh? But the people were just so nice. It's kind of strange that it's...
Is it a colourful country?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they wear freaky clothes.
Yeah.
And, you know, freaky hats and stuff,
That would have been...
Yep. And then, Southeast Asia for quite a few months, all around Cambodia and Laos, Vietnam...
Oh, that would have been unreal.
India for a while.
Oh, India even.
That was the last mission I've done before Mongolia was India.
How long did you spend in India?
Not too long, a month and a half.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Then that would have been a huge culture.
Oh, it's full on.
Is it? I hear about people being hit by the smell and not just the sights as well. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. And the people, it's just like, whoa.
So many of them.
Yeah, so many of them.
Oh, wow. And so did you stay in one spot or did you travel around?
No, travel around. Flew into Delhi and stayed in Delhi for a bit. And caught trains around.
Oh, wow. Oh, were the trains crazy? I'm a train girl. I worked on them, not the ones in India.
Sort of ones you'd sleep on there, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in a little cabin, there'd be... Indian family with you, sort of, and it was pretty cool. Ended up going to a place, Varanasi, where they burn the bodies on the sort of watch there. It was a bit crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's every day to them, isn't it?
Yep. Normal as.
Yeah.
And then sort of shove the ashes and remains into the Ganges and floats off,
Oh, wow. I've seen all this stuff in movies and books, and just to think that you actually were there. What inspires you? What pushes you to travel? What What is that?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to answer. Yeah, it's sort of... just feel like I need to see different stuff every now and again, yeah.
Because what is your everyday life like here in Masterton? You work?
Go to work with Mark and Logan, yeah.
Yeah.
We all work together.
Is it your own business?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Contract to Greater Wellington Regional Council. We do contract work for them.
What sort of work is that?
At the moment, we're pruning poplar and willow trees.
Oh, wow.
Just up at Arcuda Nursery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a huge difference from what your travels are, eh? So, like, come home and just be, like, normal for a bit. What happened one night you decided to book some tickets to Mongolia, or...?
Yeah, I'd sort of I've been looking into it for a little bit, thinking about going somewhere, and I watched a couple of things about Mongolia and thought, oh, yeah, that looks interesting.
Yeah.
And, yes, I'm off.
Yeah, because Mongolia is quite a vast land, isn't it? It's how, in comparison to New Zealand, let's try and work that out.
I think it's close to six times
Whoa. The
land.
Yeah.
Size more than New Zealand.
Yeah.
But with less people.
Yeah, whoa, really? Less people?
There's only sort of just over 3 million people in the whole country, I think.
Oh, that's incredible. I never knew that.
Maybe 3.5.
Yeah. Oh, that's way less than New Zealand. It makes this country start to feel really cramped,
and
eh?
Half of them live in the capital city.
And what's the name of that city?
Ulaanbaatar.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. And the rest of it, when you think about Mongolia, is yurts.
There's a lot of yurts.
Yeah.
Or gurs, they call them, yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't just go to drive around. You decided to do something different. What did you do?
Well, I just hired a motorbike.
Wow.
And took off by myself and
wow.
just travelled around in the countryside, you know.
Yeah. And this is just the other day you got back.
I got back last Friday.
Yeah, so, like, this is just such a recent thing for you, so everything's sort of, like, just in your head.
Yeah.
You must be still buzzing from it.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's like, geez, that was
cool. So, I want to hear about this. You get into Mongolia and you pick up your motorbike and you've got your backpack. Was it easy to get into the country, firstly?
Yeah, I flew Wellington, Auckland, China, and then a couple of hours to the capital.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a mission of a flight, but yeah, it was pretty simple.
You're quite used to the long travel now, so you're old hand at it. So you get there and you pick up your motorbike. Did you have a plan on where you were going? Had you already, like...
I was sort of just going to go with it, you know, like, see what happened.
I just swore, sorry guys.
And that's pretty much what happened, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd spent a few days, 5 days or something in the capital, just exploring around
there. Yeah.
It's quite a big spread out, sort of.
And it's quite modern?
In the centre it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's growing all the time. All the people from out the country are coming in, you know. Like, it's getting too hard for them to make a living.
I've heard this, yeah.
So all around the outside of the capital, it's all the yurts.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Slum type areas.
No way.
Yeah.
Was it your first night that something extremely...
Oh, the wolf.
Yeah, let's go there.
That was the first night I got the motorbike.
Yeah.
And then it was sort of starting to get a bit dark. I thought, I'd better pitch my tent.
Yeah.
Found a spot next to a river and there's cattle. Shitloads of cattle.
Yeah.
You know, cattle
just
all grazing around my tent, and I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, they're nice and friendly. Anyway, I went to bed, and then I think at 2 a.m, I hear all this crazy noise going on outside, like the cattle sort of screeching, and then I could hear them stampeding.
Oh, no.
So I sort of got my torch, and they're running, like taking off. And
yeah.
And then I just saw a wolf chasing them.
Shovers!
Yeah, probably only, I don't know, 50 metres away. And it kind of stopped and turned and looked at me and... Jesus.
How big was it?
Oh, it's wolfish.
Yeah, wolfish, yeah. Come on, Camille.
Yeah, it was a bit... I couldn't go to sleep.
I bet you couldn't. Did you have to change your pants? Because I would have, man. I'm so bad.
I'd actually heard them howling earlier before I'd gone to bed, and but it sounded like miles and miles away.
That didn't cause you any concern?
Not really. I mean, I knew there was wolves there, but, you know.
On your first night?
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to actually see one.
Nah, that, I don't know even what to say, bro, because that's, like, insane to me. I'm hearing them firsthand.
Apparently it's really good luck.
Oh, wow.
In Mongolia, like, I was telling some people afterwards about it, and they said, well, that's good luck.
Well, it seems like you've had good luck on all your travels, eh? You didn't lose your wallet.
Yeah. I've had pretty good luck, I think.
Yeah. So, moving on from there, how many Ks would you have travelled?
I don't exactly know.
No.
Yes.
How long were you there for?
I had the motorbike for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was there for about 3 weeks.
And so what was it like going through the countryside, and did you come across villages, or was it just little family settlements?
Yeah, all sorts, little towns, little just yurts by themselves.
Yeah.
Sort of, I crashed the motorbike a couple of days in.
Jason.
I sort of went to this town to get some water and stuff, and ended up having a yarn with these sort of local herder guys, and we had a few couple of shots.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to stay with them, but I sort of had this feeling, I need to get going.
So
got chased by dogs and got away from them and around the corner and hit some sand and crashed the motorbike and smashed the petrol tank.
And
it was all hanging off. And
were you in the middle of nowhere?
In the middle of nowhere.
Oh, bro.
Sort of, yeah. But everything was fine. I tied the tank on and, you know, carried on.
Because you'd seen a wolf and survived because you had good luck.
And the night, the day before I was taking the motorbike back, I ended up sort of half in the capital city.
Yeah.
Where they sort of told me not to go because it's just chaos, you know.
Yeah.
And I got a blowout on the back tyre and it was getting dark and I thought, what am I going to do here? But, the people just swarmed around and helped me out. And that was awesome.
Because was it strange for them to have a white man?
Yeah, not much English getting spoken, eh?
No.
Except in the capital, the younger people are starting to speak a bit more English. But sort of out of it.
And the food, what was that like?
Meat. Like fatty mutton. And
yeah.
Was that right?
Yeah.
But, a lot of meat. Not really a great country for growing.
It isn't, eh?
Nah, it's pretty barren.
Yeah. A lot of horses, eh?
A lot of horses. I've got camels.
Oh, have they?
I've got bears.
So oh, my goodness.
Goats and sheep, a lot of goats and sheep and cattle.
Yeah.
Sort of all just free-ranging, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the people own them, but they're not fenced in, like here.
Yeah. Yeah, really different. So different. I've never heard of anyone who's been to Mongolia, so this is a really cool conversation that we're having here because these are things we're getting firsthand from someone that's been there, not opening up the National Geographic or watching some actress go around and do it. I know a couple of actresses have done that before. So after leaving Mongolia, how long did you spend in the next country before you came home?
I think 5 days in South Korea.
Is that far from Mongolia?
Nah,
I'm making myself look silly here.
Just over 2 hours, I think, on a plane.
Yeah.
2.5 hours, maybe.
Yeah. And was that an eye-opener for you as well?
Yeah. I was still a little bit shocked from the whole Mongolian thing. And it was kind of the opposite. It was like busy.
Yeah.
Flash, you know, Seoul's a big city, 10 million people. And it's quite
And
modern and totally different from where I've just come from.
Yeah, totally different from North Korea too.
Yeah, for sure.
I won't go there, but that's another conversation for another day. It's absolutely epic. Would you go back to Mongolia?
Yeah, I'd go back, but I'd probably go back somewhere else that I'd been to before I went back there, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I'd do a couple of things a little bit differently, I suppose.
Yeah.
I left a little bit late. Look, it's going into that winter now.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, it's real cold there, eh?
Starting, yeah, it got down to like a negative 11.
Yeah.
So it's a bit too much for the motorbike.
Yeah.
At the end there, but...
Negative 11.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you get that in middle America, those low temperatures, Nicole?
Yeah.
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 We complain about minus one. Oh, it's cold. Yeah. No.
Man. Well, I think Mongolia gets down to negative 40s in the middle of winter. Can do.
Fish and chips, man. Honestly, yeah. That's freaky. So, do you have any plans? What's your next country you're going to knock off?
Don't know. Hey. Yeah, I want to sort of get into my art a bit.
Yeah.
Now, for a while. I've sort of hadn't been doing that much earlier this year. I've been still doing bits and pieces, but, I think that was part of deciding to go for a mission somewhere.
Yeah.
Just get a bit of, see some different stuff.
You know? Have you got visions in your mind of what you want to put onto canvas?
Not really. It'll just sort of happen.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so. I don't know. Japan's always been a bit of a...
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I was watching a documentary about Africa the other day and thought, shit, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe look at Africa at some stage.
You've got to hit all the continents, eh? And that's brilliant. Honestly, one thing I really love about myself is my imagination, and my imagination was going everywhere. I was seeing it in my head, all this stuff, and I was probably not like how you saw it, but being able to just take yourself off and do those things, and like you gotta have some walls, bro, to go to some of those places, eh? I think so.
Yeah, I think anyone can do it. Just
it's
more the deciding to do it.
Yeah, mindset too, eh?
Like, just take the leap.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do once you're there? You just gotta deal with it.
Yeah. And then you're proof that you can just do it. Like, if some kid that grew up in Tanui can go hit all these places, anyone can. That's how I see it anyway. Oh, man, that is brilliant. Jason, thank you so much for coming in and talking to me and sharing this. And Nicole, thank you so much. Yeah, really enjoyed today's show. It's been like, oh, my mind's just gone on these travels, eh? I absolutely love it. Hey, guys, you've been listening to Camille on her show, Everyday People. We're coming to the end of the show. I think there's somebody else who is coming in to do their show soon. Look, I absolutely love hearing people's stories and giving some life to them by having them put across the airways like this. It inspires me as well to... Yeah, get over my fear of flying. I'm sure there's a pill for that. But thank you so much for joining me, guys. It's still 15 degrees outside. You've been listening to 92.7 Arrow FM, your community access show, with Camille on her show, Everyday People. Go ahead and enjoy your day now.